Today our scripture reading is from the Old Testament book of Nehemiah, and we're going to read a few verses from chapter 8. I believe you have it in your bulletin in front of you. But before we do that, with God's word open before us, let us bow in prayer. Merciful God, thank you for this beautiful, wonderful day in which we can gather in your presence. Thank you for those who are here in person. Thank you for those who have joined us online. And Lord, we know that you have a purpose for all of us, and there's a reason why you have gathered us here. Maybe we don't understand it, but you know why you brought each and every one of us here today. So my prayer is that your Spirit will make us receptive so that you can achieve what you want to achieve in our lives. Thank you for your word. As we open your word and read it, we pray that your Spirit will illumine our hearts and our minds so we can understand and we can take it in and we can be changed by your word and live it in our lives. Bless us now, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So first we're going to read verses 1 through 3 of chapter 8. All the people gathered into the square before the water gate. They told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could hear with understanding. This was on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. We jump forward to verses 5 and 6. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. Then they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And then finally, verses 8 through 10. So they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord our God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our God, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. This is the word of the Lord. One of the great things about our country is that we still have the freedom of the press. Even though we see that, you know, journalists are increasingly being criticized from both the left and the right, or the fact that people accuse them of sensationalism and bias and pin the label fake news on stories they simply don't like. And in spite of the fact that major events happening in our country and the world look very differently depending on whether they're being covered by Fox News or by the New York Times, we nevertheless remain grateful that we have free press, even if we don't always agree with it. By the way, some people are taking, you know, this fake news thing very personally. You can now buy a t-shirt on tpublic.com that says, My 60th birthday is fake news. It's not the same for everyone in the world, though. In some countries, the government tightly controls the media and bans many news sites. So where can people, you know, who live under censorship get access to uncensored journalism? I was surprised to read that many of them play the game Minecraft. Any of you familiar with the game? Minecraft is a video game in which players, you know, explore a virtual world and extract raw materials, make tools, build structures. And they can also fight computer-controlled mobs or compete against other players. And when you log on to Minecraft, you can choose to play in survival mode, or you can play in creative mode, or you can access uncensored journalism. A nonprofit called Reporters Without Borders has created a backdoor within the game. And if you go through this portal, you can visit a virtual library stocked with uncensored articles. Any player, anytime, anywhere in the world can access this library. And so if you visit this uncensored library, you can read reporting from the slain journalist Jamal Khashoggi. You won't find his articles on Saudi Arabia's censored internet. Or you can access articles from Javier Valdez, a Mexican journalist who exposed crime and corruption until he was killed by gunmen. So through this Minecraft portal, Reporters Without Borders is trying to expose the younger generation to the importance of press freedom and the consequences when information is censored in the real world. And they want game users, some as young as 7 years old, to understand how important it is to have access to the truth. And since it launched in March of 2020, says Fast Company, the project has reached more than 20 million gamers from 165 different countries. You know, this portal on Minecraft serves as a reminder that we should never censor journalism. And the same could be said for religion. The book of Nehemiah and our passage for today makes it clear that people of faith also need access to the truth, to God's word, which is really God's uncensored library for us. You see, the citizens of Judah lived in exile in Babylon for 70 years. They were cut off from their homeland and their temple in Jerusalem. It was before the internet and video games, of course, so they had little access to the news of Judah. They were living as strangers in a strange land. And finally, they were allowed to return home. Their governor, Nehemiah, led them in a project to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And the priest Ezra read from scripture while the people listened. For them, the truth came not through a back door in Minecraft, but through the water gate in the walls of Jerusalem. And what we see is that this new access to the Word of God really, really mattered to the people. That's why they all gathered together. It says in verse 2, so Ezra the priest brought the book of the law before the assembly, which included the men and women and all the children old enough to understand. So the people of Jerusalem craved the truth that came through Scripture. So they gathered and they told Ezra to read to them the law of Moses, the law that the Lord God had given to them. The book of the law of Moses was their uncensored library. It says in verse 3, from early morning till noon, he read the law of Moses to them, and they listened carefully. They paid close attention. They were attentive to God's word. Just like censored journalism in parts of the world today, the words of Moses had been unavailable to them in their homeland. But now they were being read in the presence of the people. Ezra stood on a wooden platform and read the law, and the reading turned into a worship service that lasted for 6 hours. It says he stood on a wooden stand and that was made especially for the occasion so that everyone could see him as he read. Everyone stood up as he opened the scroll, and then they bowed and they worshiped the Lord. The people hung on to every word. And the Hebrew text was interpreted by a leader standing nearby into the more familiar Aramaic. And the people were enriched by access to the uncensored word of God, especially when it was made understandable through interpretation. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law." When the people grasped what they were hearing, they were so moved that they cried. Because in ancient times and today, the word of God has the power to penetrate the human spirit. It has the ability to speak to your heart, to touch the deepest corners of your soul. Think of some passages in the Bible that still have this effect today on us. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Psalm 23. "For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord." Jeremiah 29:11. "Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with your God." Micah 6. "Love is patient, love is kind." 1 Corinthians 13. "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Philippians 4:13. "All things work together for good for those who love God." Romans 8:28. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." John 3:16. These are words that touch our spirits and move our hearts and our souls. And they all come from God's uncensored library. So the people of Jerusalem gathered beneath a wooden platform, and they listened to God's word. And they knew that for us to understand the Bible means quite literally to stand under the Bible. In other words, to place ourselves under its authority, to take it personally, to allow our lives to be shaped by it, to give it our trust and our confidence. We are standing under Scripture's view of God and humanity and history. So how do we do that? How do I stand under God's word? It means you turn towards God and his word on a daily basis. And through this turning towards God initiative by Kameh and Megan, or TTG for short, you now have the option and the opportunity of doing it with some people that you know and some people that you love. But let me get just a little more specific and share a few thoughts with you. To stand under God's word means I first of all need to build on it. I must make the Bible the foundation of my life. I build my life on God's word. Whatever is the foundation will determine how big a structure can be on top of it. So I'm going to build my life on the Bible. And this is what Jesus talks about in Matthew 7. At the end of his very famous Sermon on the Mount, he says this: anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. He says you can build your life on sand, or you can build your life on a rock. If you build your life on the rock of truth, truth never changes, okay? Opinion changes, but truth doesn't change. If it's true, then it was true 1,000 years ago, and it'll be true 1,000 years from today. Opinion, I mean, it changes all the time. But if you build on the rock of God's word, then you're going to build on the stability of something that never changes. And when the winds of life come, when the storms of life, when the trials and the troubles and temptations and all those tough times inevitably come into your life, you're not blown away. You don't crumble like most people do, because you are solid. You're built on a rock foundation. On the other hand, if you build on shifting sands or just opinion or whatever happens to be popular or whatever, then you're going to be on shifting sands. The foundation will crumble. So you say, God, I'm going to build my life on this book. I'm going to build my life on what you say, God, because I know you're not going to lie to me. And it's the truth. So get into TTG and start building your life on his word. Secondly, to stand under scripture means I feed on it. You have to feed on God's word to get the strength that you need. If you don't eat regularly, you become weak. And the Bible tells us that the word of God is spiritual food. In fact, it uses several pictures. The Bible describes itself as the water, the milk, the bread, the meat of the spiritual life. So that's everything you're going to need for sustenance. But you have to be feeding yourself. You have to be eating something. Because just like you need physical food for physical strength, you've got to have spiritual food for spiritual strength. Eugene Peterson, I mean, he's passed away, but he's done so much great work, and he wrote a book, a wonderful book with the title, Eat This Book. It's on the art of spiritual reading. To not just read the Bible like any other book, but to read it as the revelation of God. So we need to feed ourselves on the Word of God so we have the strength we need to deal with life. Now I can receive it with my ears, which is what you're doing now. But I must also read it with my eyes, and I must reflect on it with my mind, and I must remember it with my heart. And that's part of what you will be doing with others when you join this group and participate in it. Thirdly, to stand under God's word means I live by it. The word of God is not only food for your soul, The Word of God is your standard for living. God's Word sets the standard by which you judge everything else you value in life. It's the standard by which you make decisions for the things you're facing in life. Because you see, you've got to build your life on something. You've got to base those decisions on something. Please don't let it be social media. Allow the Word of God to become the standard by which you live. Why? Why? Because it's the Word of God that'll give you hope when you're in crisis. It's the Word of God that will give you comfort when you are in despair. It's the Word of God that will give you strength when you're weak. It's the Word of God that will give you wisdom when you're confused. It's the Word of God that will give you guidance when you're looking for direction. And it's the Word of God that will give you strength to fight temptation. Turn to God and His Word daily and live by it. And then finally, to stand under God's Word means I trust it. I build on it, I feed on it, I live by it, and I trust it. Listen, God's Word is never going to guide you in the wrong direction. Other people will, even well-meaning people. I've had friends give me advice and it didn't work out well because it was the wrong advice. You've had friends who love you deeply and they gave you advice, but it was the wrong advice. Even well-meaning people often will steer you in the wrong direction. But God and His Word will never do that. You can always trust Him. There's this beautiful verse in Psalm 119, verse 105. And it says, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." It's a verse worth memorizing because it's the flashlight verse of the Bible. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet. By your words, I can see where I'm going. And a light for my path, they throw a beam of light on my dark path. It's like a flashlight showing me so that I don't stub my toe at night. But let me ask you, have you ever been in the dark? Like, I don't have the slightest idea of what I'm supposed to do about this relationship I'm in right now. I don't have the slightest idea whether I should accept this job offer. I don't have the slightest idea what I should do with this child of mine. How I should respond to that nasty text or email. You're in the dark. What do you do when you're in the dark? You flip on the light. And so the next time you're in the dark and you're confused and you don't know which way to turn and you don't know what to do or where to go, you just say, "God, your word is a light to my feet and a lamp for my path. I trust your word and I'm going to start reading it. Show me what you want me to do." When the people of Jerusalem stood under the law of God, they were allowing the words of Moses to shape them as a people. They listened carefully and they answered, "Amen, amen," which means certainly, certainly. They were pledging allegiance to these words and to the God who was speaking them. And then Nehemiah told them to go off and celebrate. He urged them to eat rich foods and, and drink sweet wine and to take care and provide for those who might not have anything to eat. Because the day was special and it was a holy day, and Nehemiah commanded them not to be grieved, but to remember that the joy of the Lord is their strength. Listen, we are blessed to have access to God's word in so many different ways. You have it with you all the time on your phone. His uncensored library. Whenever, wherever we want. There's nothing fake about the power of the Word of God to refresh our souls and guide our steps. We are blessed when we stand under God's Word and allow it to mold our hearts and our souls and our minds. When we turn to God and allow the truth of God to shape our lives in every time and place, the uncensored Word of God is our truth. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. Almighty God, thank you. Thank you for your word that we have with us all the time. And yet, we put it on the shelf, or we never open the Bible app, or we never read it. I pray that we all will be encouraged to join in this effort, this group, to jointly come together and read your word and reflect on it and share something with each other, because we are the body of Jesus Christ. We belong to the same Lord. We are a faith family. I pray for those who don't have access to your uncensored library, to your word, who so desperately crave it, and yet they're denied access. May they be able to find a way to read your word and to live by it and be strengthened by it. And may we have this free access, never take your word for granted, but read it and build our lives on it and live by it and trust it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.